Good morning, First Free. My name is Jordan Cron. I am the Student Ministries Pastor. It is so good to be back with you. Some of us who might be newer this morning may be wondering, who is this? And why did we hire another Jordan on our staff? Jordan Green, Jordan Cron. It's a little confusing, and they're both leading the service this morning. Well, I am not new to First Free. I just returned a few weeks ago from a three-month sabbatical. It is so good to be back with you all this morning. And I want to just take a moment to thank the staff, the elders, the volunteers that made my sabbatical possible. It was a true blessing for me and my family, and it's a gift to be a part of a church that cares so well for its leaders. But this morning we're in the middle of a series called Sanctuary Psalms. We're journeying through Psalms chapters 25 to 33, and we're looking at how God is our sanctuary. God's our refuge, our shelter, rock, fortress. And with the grief and loss many within our church are facing, the series is quite timely for us. And as we begin, let me ask this question. In our pain, in our suffering, in our loss, and in our grief, who is the one that we cry to? Who is the one that we cry to? And if you've been around children for more than a few minutes, they're asking this question and answering this question all the time. Around our house, if there's a child with a bumped knee, some scrape on their head, a toy that's broken, they're answering that question quite quickly as to who is the one that they are crying to. And the answer is quite simple. It's mom. Sorry, dads. Dad, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in this situation? So thinking about this at your house. There's a kid who's just screaming. Ah! You're like, what's happening? Did somebody die? And they're just lightning scream. You hear it roaring throughout the house. And all of a sudden, a child comes running. The boom, 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 boom. And then there's this red face, tears down the face, snot running down the nose. You know, that their hands are in the air, extended. Ah! And then all of a sudden, you're like their dads. Like, you're ready for it. You're like, this is what I was here for. This is why I'm here. And then they see you. And they go this way. Like, they're looking for mama. They're not looking for you. You are not the one they are crying to. They are crying for their mama. And they're suffering and pain. Who do children want? Who are children crying for? They're crying for mommy. But for the Christian who is suffering, in our pain, in our loss, in the tears that we cry when we pray, who is the one that we're crying to? That's the question we're exploring this morning. This is going to be the big idea for us this morning. It'll be on the screen. But in our affliction, we can cry to a God of goodness who is worthy of worship. In our cry of affliction, we can cry to a God of goodness who is worthy of our worship. And we're going to see this cry in three parts this morning. Part one is going to be the cry. Part two is going to be David's confidence in God's goodness. Part three is going to be David's call for us to worship. So three C's: cry, confidence, call to worship. And we're going to read through Psalm chapter 31 together. So if you've got the Bible or the Bible in your pew, would you go ahead and grab that and pull that open? We're going to be on page 461. We're going to be at Psalm 31. So if you're not normally one who opens up the Bible and reads through that, this is going to be really helpful for you to follow along. So grab that off the pew or open the one with you. Psalm 31, it's going to be on page 461. And if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Listen to what David says. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. And into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrows and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries I have, I become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have become forgotten like one who is dead. I become a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of all mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Like I said, cry, confidence in God's goodness, call to worship. We're going to start with the cry in verses 1 to 18. And here's David's cry. Be my help in the depth of affliction. Be my help in the depth of affliction. It's a cry of help. And here David's cry is personal. As you read, notice quickly the I statements in the first section. I, me, me, me. This is David's burden that he's bringing before the Lord. And David cries out to the Lord about his shame. In verse 1, David says, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Also in verse 17, he says, O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Here, David wants to be saved from shame. What is shame? What's the shame that David is referring to? Well, it's the shame of public disgrace. Shame means that we're humiliated before our neighbors. People can publicly see what's wrong with us, and it seems to indicate that God's judgment is upon us. Well, just who is it that David is crying to? David's cry is an act of trust in God. In verse 6, David says, but I trust in the Lord. And in verse 5, David says, it's into your hand that I commit my spirit. Here David says, I trust my spirit, I trust my life, I trust my all into the hands of God. In verse 14, David says, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God, my times are in your hands. And here we see that there's no better place than to trust our lives in the hands of our God. God's hands are the best place in the world to commit our very lives. And Jesus is the ultimate example of trusting our lives in God's hands. Jesus suffered terrible pain. Jesus died the most immensely painful of deaths. Jesus bore the wrath of God that you and I deserve. And Jesus trusted his suffering in God's hands. And in crying out to the Father, his last words in Luke 23, he's borrowing David's words, utilizing David's words, and enacting the same cry of David. As David says in verse 5, so too does Jesus, it's into your hands I commit my spirit. So Jesus trusted his lives in the hands of a loving Father. And so too can we trust our lives into the hands of a Father who hears us and cares for us. And notice God's care for David is not in pain that's ceased, but pain that seems to be ongoing. God is with David in his pain, there for David. Notice that God hasn't fully rescued from David from whatever he's facing, but God cares for David in his affliction. Verse 7, it says this, you, God, have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. For God's people, we can have confidence. God sees our pain. God knows our pain. And God cares for us in our pain. Or in verse 8, it says that you have set my feet in a broad place. God sustains us in our pain. Even when we can't see, even when we can't understand, God is doing good for those who trust in him. God sustains his people in their pain. What's David crying out to the Lord about? But we see the needs that he brings before the Lord in verses 9 to 13. And these are the most important in our section. The section, first section in verses 1 to 18 are very intentionally organized, and verses 9 to 13 are at the very heart of it. But there we see David's multifaceted affliction. David's pain there is physical. Verse 9, my strength fails and my bones waste away. We see that his body is failing him. David's suffering here is mental. He says in verse 10, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. David's overwhelmed with sorrow. David's suffering is relational. Verse 11, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors. His friends, his neighbors have seen what has happened. His suffering is put on display for all. David's suffering is spiritual. Verse 10, my strength fails because of my iniquity. At times, David has chosen sin. You see, it's a multifaceted affliction. It's complicated. But notice this. Even in the middle of David's suffering, David doesn't turn away from God. David turns towards God. And David shows us something here in our first section. For the Christian, God is our refuge. Or as verse 2 tells us, God is our strong fortress. Well, what exactly is a fortress? What's David referring to? Well, in the ancient world, a fortress is a place of safety. It'd be a city surrounded by a massive wall. There'd be a moat surrounding the city to keep attackers at a distance. That there'd be strong bars that'd be reinforcing the gates to keep people at bay. From the walls of a strong fortress, defenders can hurl down stones, arrows, javelins, hot oil. Food would be stockpiled in these fortresses behind to sustain the inhabitants at a time of attack. In an attack, a strong fortress is where you can run to for your protection. And that's what David here is doing as he brings his afflictions before the Lord. He's running to God as his fortress. And so it's important for us to ask and consider, is the Lord my fortress? Am I bringing my pain before him? Just think of when you pray. Sitting at your kitchen table. Maybe it's with your spouse before bed. Maybe it's on your drive to work. Are you bringing your pain before our God? But what do we do instead of bringing our pain to God? What's our alternative? We might attribute our pain, our suffering to blind fate or to chance. We might say, my life has been really unlucky or things really haven't gone my way. We at times forget that a good and loving God is orchestrating the very details of our lives. Or we allow pain to drive us away from God. We don't pray, don't gather with God's people, don't read the Bible. So often our pain drives us from God. We run from God instead of bringing our pain to our God, our strong fortress. But we should pray to God, our strong fortress. Pray about the pains of work. God, it seems like I might need to lie to get ahead. I feel pressed to take advantage of others. We should pray to God about the pains of mental health. God, I can't function. I'm overwhelmed. I'm depressed. I want it all to end. We should pray about the pains of sickness or aging. God, I'm wasting away. My mind, my body, I'm broken. And for us as a church, we should bring the grief of loss to the Lord. God, why did you take them? What are you doing? And for those of us who trust in Christ, God sees our pain. God knows our pain. God preserves us in our pain. Just as God was with David, so too God is with us. So this is David's cry. Next, we'll see David's confidence in God's goodness. In verses 19 to 20, we see that God's goodness is for those who take refuge in him. God's goodness is for those who take refuge in him. So it's a shift of who David is addressing. In our first section, we saw David's personal plea, the I, the me, me, me. Section 1 was David's cry. But But in the second section, David addresses all of God's people, all who fear the Lord, all who take refuge in his name. But what's true for those of us who trust God? Verse 19 says this, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness for those who trust God." Just how much goodness is there for those who trust in the Lord? Well, verse 19 says that God's goodness is abundant and stored up. Let me encourage you to imagine a warehouse packed with God's goodness. That this warehouse is so massive you can't even see the walls. It's massive and endless, stretching farther than the eye can see. Row after row of God's goodness stored up in real lives. Shelves filled with God's mercy and grace and love. God's goodness is abundant and stored up for those who trust in him. But when it comes to seeing God's goodness, for me personally, it's often hard to see God's goodness. Seeing it is often like trying to look through a brick wall. It's difficult, impossible to see, no matter how hard you try. So often for many of us, God's goodness seems to disappear. And it's important for us to know that if that's you, you are not alone in the struggle. For me as a pastor, I struggle with doubt and despair, and so too do countless in our congregation. But for David in the darkness, in the lowest of lows, David sees God's goodness is abundant in pain. And God's goodness isn't just for our future. That the Christian in their suffering receives God's goodness today, no matter what we face. But why does David address God's goodness? God hasn't changed his circumstances. If you read carefully, David still seems to be in the middle of his affliction. But by trust, David knows God sees him. David knows God protects him. David's trusting his pains to God. He's declaring God's goodness in his suffering. I love this quote from John Piper in his book, A Sweet and Bitter Confidence. He speaks of God's goodness in our suffering. It'll be on the screen. But John Piper says this, "Life is not a straight line leading from one blessing to the next and then finally to heaven. Life is a winding and troubled road, switchback after switchback. And the point of biblical stories like Joseph and Job and Esther and Ruth, and we could add and David, is to help us feel in our bones, not just know in our heads, that God is for us in all these strange turns. God is not just showing up after the trouble and cleaning up. He's plotting the course and managing the trouble with far-reaching purposes for our good and for the glory of Jesus Christ." John Piper is saying that there's goodness in the pain right here and right now. Just as David says in this psalm, "He has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city." But will our suffering ever end? For those of us who make God their refuge, for those of us who have repented of our sins, we've believed the gospel, we've trusted that Jesus died for our sins, believers will one day get to experience God's goodness in a way that's no longer affected by sin and affected by death. Today, God is our refuge, but sin continues, and death continues. But in eternal life, in God's goodness, he has planned, suffering will end for the believer. So what's David asking for us to do? Well, in our suffering, in our pain, in the grief, in the loss, we should have confidence in God's goodness. As our bodies waste away, God is our shelter. As panic sets in, God is our hope. As sadness overwhelms, God is our rock. Trust your pain in God's good hands. God holds you in his goodness. It's easy also to think, as we consider trusting God's goodness, is my faith strong enough? How can I make my faith stronger? But here, David's not telling us to see how big his faith is. David is telling us to see how strong, how protective, how good our God is for his people. David's point isn't about the strength of his faith, it's about the strength of the God that we can cry to. And so we ought not to have confidence in ourselves, but have confidence in our good God. So we started with David's personal cry. We've seen seen our need for confidence in God's goodness. And finally, David calls us to worship. In verses 21 to 24, there David says, "Praise the Lord who sustains his afflicted. Praise the Lord who sustains his afflicted." So how should God's goodness in our suffering affect us? Well, we should worship. Verse 21 tells us, "Blessed be the Lord." And verse 23 says, "To love the Lord, all you his saints. Praise God for his goodness in our affliction." And what's the reason David gives for us to worship? David reflects back on his own life and tells us to look back on his past life. Verse 21 saying, "For he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city." David tells us, look at God's love for me and my suffering. Look at his care for me and my affliction. God's people, we must praise him. God's cared for David in his time of need. Let me encourage you to think back when a friend came through for you in a time of need. Well, how did you respond? A friend may have helped you when you needed something practical, like a friend helping to work on a work project or a flat tire. A friend may have helped you when you needed support, someone to talk with, an open ear, someone to sit with you. A friend may have helped you when you needed prayer, someone to bring your needs together to the Lord with, maybe even someone to hold you and cry with you. But how did you respond to this friend who met your need? We respond with gratitude. And this praise is David's gratitude. Gratitude for God's goodness to him and his affliction. I want you to notice David's circumstance here. But pain and praise for David are not exclusive. We often think that we can only praise God when things are going well for us. But David here is challenging us in this mindset. For David, pain and praise go hand in hand. So where are you hurting? Where's the pain? Remember God's goodness to you in it and praise him for it. Worship God with your tears and through the tears. Even in sadness, God invites us to worship him. Pain and praise can go hand in hand. We might ask, well, how can I offer up my praise in my pain? It seems so difficult. How can I praise God with what I faced? And I think verse 24 gives us some clarity. There in verse 24, David tells us to be strong. And I would say this assumes feelings of weakness for those of us in our fear, anxiety, suffering. David tells us to let our hearts take courage. It assumes fear, anxiety. David tells us that it's all for those who wait on the Lord, assuming that we're waiting to see God's goodness, trying to see God's goodness and what we're facing. That these words here that close out the psalm, they come from Joshua 1, verses 6 to 9, where I think the story also suggests Joshua's weakness and fear. The Lord tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. And just think back to the weakness and fear that Joshua would have faced. Moses had just died. Their leader was gone. Joshua faced cities like Jericho, massive cities that seemed impossible to fight. Joshua faced the failures of God's people like Achan. Joshua faced great armies that wanted him dead. Certainly, Joshua faced weakness and fear. And when we experience pain, it's normal to feel weak and afraid. So where's your weakness? Where's your fear? And in your weakness, you can be strong because God is strong and trustworthy. In your worry, you can be courageous because God's past performance tells us that he is a good refuge. We can worship the Lord because he's our strong fortress. In conclusion, we must consider, in our pain and in our weakness, who is it that we cry to? Who is it that we cry to? In our house, when our kids are hurting, they cry to mom. Why is that? Well, mom sees their pain, mom sits with them in their hurt, and they feel her love very deeply when they cry to her. Similarly, David cries to a God who loves him, a God who is for him, a God who is a refuge and a fortress, a God whose hands are trustworthy, and a God who is worthy of our worship. Let's join David in our pain and cry out to our God as well. Join me in prayer. God, you are our refuge. You are trustworthy, redeemer, deliverer. You are Lord. And God, we cry out to you in our pain, our shame, our sin, our struggle. God, help us. Listen to us and make your face to shine upon us. God, in our suffering, give us confidence in your goodness. In the loss, give us hearts to worship you. In our grief, give us strength and give us courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.